They were the first two people who did not understand Apple's terms and conditions. And the oldest computer company can be traced back to Adam and Eve. It was an Apple with extremely limited memory. It only had one byte, and then everything crashed. Okay. You have Audacity going? Okay, and if you want to bring up the PowerPoint, get the first verse. Okay. Genesis 3:20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Now Eve's name in Hebrew is Chava, which means life giver. Indeed, Chava was the life giver of every mother since, and every mother has been the life giver herself. So Lord, we give thanks for all the mothers that have given lives, all the mothers that gave life so that we could have life. They give life to our body, but I don't think you knew this. They give life to every cell in our body. Mothers had given us what we call mitochondrial DNA. The DNA that we get from both mother, or from mother and father, when everything comes together, is we get one strand from mother, one strand from father, and that's the DNA that goes in the nucleus. But we also get DNA that goes in the cytoplasm around the nucleus. And there's maybe like 1,000 or so little organelles around there that contain mitochondrial DNA. And that's the DNA that came from our mother, in addition to the other that was at the center. And the mitochondrial DNA is really interesting, because what it does, it's kind of like the power generator. You know, there's a generator someplace that's making electrons that come and give us lights and sound and cooling. Well, in each cell there's like 1,000 little generators that are making the ATP, which is basically the energy of the cell. And so Mom gave us energy. Thank you, Mom. Thank you, God, for giving her to give us everything we need. We need all of that to move, to think, to see, to do all that we do. So then I'm kind of the curious sort of guy, and I said, well, if Eve's name is Chava, how come do we call her Eve? So I had to go back and look at that. Now, I'm going to take a string of how that happened, and it's much like Joel sent out a text to many of us about goodbye. Where goodbye came from? God be with ye. Shortened and shortened until it came goodbye. That just happens with words and language. We kind of shorten things up. So, In the 3rd to 2nd century before Christ, the Hebrew Bible was translated from Hebrew into Greek, known as the Septuagint. The name Chava was transliterated into Eva. Since the Jews didn't have the guttural Chava, it became Eva. Just like we don't have a consonantal sound for the Jewish ch sound, the ch sound, the guttural sound. So we say it differently. And so it became Eva in Greek. And then came along Latin, and the Rome, and this would be after Christianity in 400 AD, the Latin Vulgate was translated, and it took that Septuagint word, Eva, and continued that word in the Vulgate. And then Western Christianity, which used the Latin for centuries, finally came down to English in England, and they translated it from Eva to Eve. For some reason, they made it fit English phonetics, and that's what it became, Eve. Been translated Eve in the King James and all the translations since then, and so that's how we got Eve. So to see what God was doing with Eve, the life giver, we need to look earlier into the creation story. So in Genesis 1:11, God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth." And it was so. God commanded grass to grow like grass, flowers to grow like flowers, at God's will. And by the way, flowers more beautiful than anything man has made. As Jesus said, "Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I say to you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which it today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" So God made, his first command was to bring forth fruit according to its kind. Bring forth. Think about this. The first command was not only spiritual, to obey God's authority, but it was physical, to bring forth fruit. Obeying God spiritually results in doing something physical almost always. The grass, the flowers, they carry out this command. When was the last time you saw a frowny face flower or a frowny face tree standing there? "I won't do this. I'm done with this." No, they become what God wants. What God wants them to become. And they bring forth what God wants them to bring forth. We've had these wildflowers out in the field recently. Did you ever see any of them having a contest, arguing about which one was more beautiful? Writing it up on TikTok? No, they just do what God meant them to do. No arguing, no contest. They do their best with the soil and the water the sun has given them. And we know the water has been kind of shy this year, but there's still a lot of them out there. In obedience to God's command to be fruitful has the physical manifestation of the beauty which we see. Next, Genesis 1:21. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded, according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the sea, and let the birds multiply on the earth. And in Psalms, it tells us how it worked, how this worked out. O Lord, how majestic are your works. In wisdom you've made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. This great wide sea in which are innumerable teeming things, living things both small and great. There the ships sail about. There is that Leviathan which you have made to play, that is to laugh there. Think about it. What playful, humorous creatures can you think about that are in the sea? Porpoises. I have a few. Otters, yes. They probably invented the first slide, right? Kids have been happy ever since. Sea lions, octopuses, penguins, clownfish, manta rays, and even I saw one recently, one of the big whales that just comes up out of the water and goes down for no good reason except he's playing. I haven't figured out any reason why he needs to do that. Is this not part of being fruitful, bringing forth laughter as we play before God? I don't know if you noticed the music team up here. They were playing. I don't mean playing, I mean playing. I saw you playing. That's what God meant, to be before him, to play, not just strum something, but to be into it. And they were into it. So in Proverbs 8, and we'll get to that in a few months here. When he assigned the sea its limit so that the waters would not transgress his command, then they marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was in the sons of man. So here we have wisdom with Jesus. Now, I don't know, maybe some people think wisdom might be Jesus. Wisdom before God, the Father, the Creator. And some people may think that this wisdom was the a personification of Jesus. But here, wisdom is rejoicing with God in the earth. Wisdom and sea creatures are playing before God. Then as we move on, Genesis 1:24, God said, let the earth bring forth. And I want you to just, I want this bring forth word to kind of stick in your head. Bring forth the living creatures according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. In Psalms it says, these all wait for you. that you may give them their food in due season. What you give them, they gather in. You open your hand, and they are filled with good. You hide your face, they are troubled. You take away their breath, and they die, and they return to their dust. You send forth your spirit, and they are created. You renew the face of the earth. Every beast has on earth has life because God's spirit gives it life. They are filled with good from God's hand. Then the next part of creation. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." God created mankind to do the same that he created the rest of creation to do. Be fruitful, multiply, and show forth the glory of God. He commands creation to bring forth after their kind, and they bring forth. The creation, however, other than mankind, brings forth fruit with arguing or fighting about with God about it. The flower creates, and at the center of its beautiful flower are the seeds from which the future generation springs. No fighting, no willfulness, all in accord with God's plan. Each part of creation brings forth living expression of itself as God commanded. Physically, humans do the same. But they bring forth humans like themselves. Think of this great gift. The privilege that God has given to mothers to be a part of his creation of a unique person. And God's design for that person is to play before God in a way that cooperates with God's purposes and glorifies God. After conceptions, fathers have a place to play and a huge role in raising children. However, God's purpose goes beyond just another person on earth. 1 Timothy 2:3. Did I miss that? 1 Timothy 2:3 says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." That's what he desires for each person that comes into the world. And again in Ephesians 6:4, he says, "And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord." God has a purpose for every person to come to know him and to know God in an intimate way. God's purpose is to create people to be in relationship with him, people who enjoy being involved in his enjoyment. But as we know, humans have been given free moral will to be associated with God or not, to agree with his moral laws or not, to receive the gift of eternal life or not. And part of being a parent, part of being a grandparent, part of being a great-grandparent is to help those children come to know and be in relationship with God. Now, when we think of bringing forth, let's look at John 15. "I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Mothers, with the help of a father, participate with God in the physical creation of a new individual. But God's desire is that every person be born again into a living relationship with God. It takes mothers, fathers, members of the church to guide that individual into a loving, saving relationship with the Savior. This is the culmination of God's cycle. The flower grows, its beauty produces seed, that seed is planted, that grows and produces seed, and God is glorified in the process. A mother bears a child who's raised by a mother and a father with the help of the church. This child receives the gift of eternal life in a relationship as a child of God. God is glorified in the entire process. The command, be fruitful and multiply, has been obeyed to produce another worshiper of God. What are we going to do? Are we going to be like the flower who God made? Are we going to be who God made us to be? Paul tells us that we should be imitators of God. We should think like God, talk like God, build what God would build, tear down what God would tear down. As the life of a flower is lived to bring glory to God, not glory to the flower, so God commands us, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves over the earth. Those of you who are young enough to be fruitful and multiply physically, that's what God wants. Thank you for obeying his commands. But fruitful takes more than simply birthing a child. It takes making a home for the child. Actually, it means making everyone you feel meet at home. As I've taken my mom around to different doctors, we had two doctor visits last Friday, and you just don't visit one person. You visit the lady that weighs you, the lady that takes your, the person that takes your blood pressure, the PA, the doctor, and, well, actually, the lady that takes your name and at the beginning, the person that takes your name and tells them that you're here, the person that brings you back, all of those people, the doctor, and then the lady at the end who reschedules your appointment. For a year from now. So the 99-year-old lady will be 100. And we're hoping she'll be back. So you get to interact with all of those people. And you have an opportunity to share something good about God, something good, something thankful to each one of those. So it's not only about bearing fruit Mother's Day, having a child, but most of mothering is what you do every day. You mother children, grandchildren, the people around you, the people in church. We are mothers to them. Scratching somebody's back. So is he, God, the director in all we do? Are we like the flowers waiting for his command, what to do next? Is he directing our life so that we are walking in his ways so that our children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, and everyone we encounter desires to enter into that life with Jesus. So I'd like to, if you could bring up the church webpage. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Doesn't show up so well, but there it is. If you go to the church webpage, go to resources, go to words to the morning prayer. The song of the morning prayer is after that. But if you want to go to the words of the morning prayer and bring it up, most mornings I go through this to help direct my day. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Pray that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored. Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. And do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. I'd like to close with just that song. So if you want to... you want to click on the song and then unmute the... Oh, no, you don't need the lights. Yeah. Yeah, you should. Oh. Well, no, if you could go to the church website. Yeah.
Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Pray that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored. Pray for us, for we are sure but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So be it.
Thank you, Lord, for life. Thank you that you've given us eternal life. And thank you that we can play with you through this life. In Jesus' name, amen.